Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So the Social Democrats' TD Owen Hayes will not attend his party's think-in today after he apologised for wearing blackface makeup at a Halloween party 16 years ago. He was previously suspended from the party after giving misleading information about his shares in the Israeli tech company Palantir. Well, the photographs were published this morning in the Irish Daily Mail, and its political editor Craig Hughes is on the line now. Good morning, Craig. I'm sure you heard Holly Kearns, the Sock Dems leader on Morning Ireland this morning. She described this wearing of blackface makeup as racism, but then she indicated that because this had happened so long ago, she doesn't seem minded to expel him from the party. So in your view, is Owen Hayes out of the woods?
Good morning, Claire. I don't think so. And I think at the outset, it's important to say that I think this is a really deeply cynical move by the Social Democrats to try and deflect here, because the only reason that Owen Hayes wasn't booted out of the Social Democrats after the Palantir shares scandal was simply to do with the Dáil arithmetic. And him coming back into the fold this Dáil term gives them greater speaking rights over the Labour Party, which means they'll be called on Nader's questions after Sinn Féin, not the Labour Party as it was last time around.
But it's their prerogative, though, Craig, to make those decisions about who's in and who's out, right?
No, it is, of course. But they've made a political calculation that it was worth taking the flak over having someone in their party who literally went against everything that the Social Democrats had said they stood for. I mean, here's a guy who was profiting off a company share price because of their involvement with the Israeli Defense Forces. I mean, is that really what the Social Democrats stood for? And now we're getting these other excuses. Like when he was brought back in, we were told everyone deserves a second chance. I mean, how many chances is Owen Hayes going to get in the Social Democrats? And really, I think it calls into question the judgment of the leadership.
Well, on the fact that this was 16 years ago, and Holly Kearns herself raised this, there were plenty online I saw last night saying essentially, you know, who amongst us hasn't done something really stupid in our late teens or our early 20s that we mightn't be proud of and mightn't want photographic evidence of around the place? I mean, there are plenty who would probably, if they have a good think about it, feel embarrassed about things that they did back in the day. What do you say to that?
I think there's a big jump between doing something you're embarrassed by and blackface, to be honest. And this is after he graduated from college. He was president of the students' union at the time. So, I mean, I think you would have expected a lot more from someone at that age. It's not like he was in first year of college or in Leaving Cert or anything like that. And I think the reaction has been quite strong, even from within the Social Democrats in particular, because they accept, as Holly Kearns said this morning, that it is racist to dress up in blackface. I mean, I really think the reason that they're skirting around the edges here is, again, deeply cynical and just goes back to their own political positioning. Mm.
It was interesting as well that Holly Kearns said that it wasn't Owen Hayes who told her that this story was coming. It was the media. Now, I don't know if it was you who had that conversation with Holly Kearns or with the Sock Dems.
No, not with Holly Kearns. I went to the Social Democrats press office at about 1 o'clock yesterday. So they had kind of all day to kind of digest this and to think about.
And did Owen Hayes know about the story coming before 1 o'clock yesterday, before you contacted the Sock Times?
No, I don't think so. No, so okay. I contacted him as well at the same time, and then they took the decision to put out a statement on it last night. But again, and this thing about Owen Hayes not being there again today, I mean, you have to remember, he was quietly readmitted to the party after the Dáil recess kicked in. So, I mean, they've been running scared of addressing the Owen Hayes story all along. Today was always going to be about Owen Hayes, regardless of this story, because Holly hasn't had to account for the party's handling of the share controversy around him.
Are you saying you think it's wrong for her to say that because it was so long ago, he, as far as she's concerned, I mean, she said she's going to talk to other members of the party, but as far as she's concerned, he remains in the party. Are you saying that that's the wrong decision?
Yeah, I mean, from their point of view, how much political capital are they going to spend on Owen Hayes? That's a question that they're going to have to ask themselves. And Colleagues Kearns wasn't definitive today. She indicated that he wouldn't be expelled. But what else? What other options does that leave? Are we going to see yet another suspension of Owen Hayes? And I also think they're running a bit scared in it by hiding him away and not bringing him out. To thinking today, he's going to have to come before the media and answer questions.
Well, he may have made that decision himself. You know, it mightn't have been a directive from the Sock Dems leadership.
Yeah, that may be the case. But I think what's quite clear from the Social Democrats is that as a new political entity, they're not used to or able to deal with political controversies well. When I first broke the story about a shareholding in Palantir, we had a week of it being dragged out of them to get the details out of them, and then before they finally made a decision to suspend him after he lied to the media on the plinth that day. And you're seeing similar here now, with, I guess, an inability to deal with the controversy straight away, and it's going to drag on for another couple of days now.
Okay, well, listen, we'll see where it goes. Moving to the presidency now, I know you're at the Fianna Fáil think-in. What do you think was the sense amongst the party and the party faithful, the parliamentary party and the members, as to how Jim Gavin is doing?
I think Jim Gavin came and spoke to the media yesterday. He was certainly improved compared to the first day outside Leinster House, but still quite rusty. I think there were some, and particularly some who would have endorsed him, that remain to be convinced that he's going to win the contest. But they are also seeing those improvements with him. I mean, I will say that video of him on the farm didn't go down too well. I mean, you know, not closing the gate, wearing white pants on a farm. I think there's a sense that he should probably be focusing on Dublin a bit more. You know, he has over a million votes in Dublin. They shouldn't really be taking that for granted. But I think the view is that at the moment it's a kind of a straight shootout between himself and Heather Humphreys, whoever can get their nose ahead of the other one. Transfers sort of like the other.
And listen, Micheál Martin was asked about this battle they had between Billy Kelleher and Jim Gavin to secure the Fianna Fáil nomination. When he was on Morning Ireland, he was asked about it. I mean, do you feel there's much at stake here now for Micheál Martin? Because there have been some analysts who have said, Craig, that really, if Jim Gavin doesn't win, that means that's a big question for Micheál Martin.
I'm of the view that some people have been reading a bit too much into the consequences of the presidential election for Micheál Martin's tenure as leader of the party. I still think that he is their strongest electoral asset at the moment. And I mean, when will be the right time for him to pass the baton on? I think events throughout the next 2 years will decide that. I wouldn't be surprised if he felt he could win the next election, that he might well continue on to it. I mean, he's fit, he's healthy, he's full of energy. But, you know, as someone who covers housing quite a lot, the housing issue, I don't think, is going to improve significantly come the next election, which will be devastating for both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, if that is the case. And therefore, if you're a Micheál Martin, do you want to go into an election like that if you don't think that you're going to come out victorious on the other side? So I think they're the type of things that will dictate his next move, I would suggest. And then, you know, you could be looking at some sort of path to transition of power sometime around 2027. But I think there's still a lot of unknowns in there and what Micheál Martin himself wants to do in that space.
Right. But just going back to the Fianna Fáil party faithful and how they reacted to Jim Gavin, what you saw. I mean, they mightn't be happy with how the thing was done and how he was selected and endorsed by the leadership, but are they backing him?
You know, I think they are, in fairness. I think they are. Now, I will say he didn't stay around last night. He didn't stay around for the dinner or to have drinks with his with those who put him onto the ballot paper, which I was a bit surprised by. But no, there is a sense, the sense I'm getting is that they are putting their shoulders to the wheel behind him, at least for now. I don't see any great lasting scars from that contest over at the moment anyway.
And we know Sinn Féin will make its mind up in 4 days, isn't it, on the 20th, as to whether to back Catherine Connolly, put their own person up, or just stay out of it altogether. Are we still in the dark on that question?
We are. Now, interestingly enough, I was talking to someone in Sinn Féin about this, and they were, I guess, wondering that, you know, if Sinn Féin simply endorses Catherine Connolly and doesn't put out their own candidate, will the Sinn Féin vote still come out, you know, or would it be better if you're trying to elect a president from the left to actually run a Sinn Féin candidate and let their transfers elect Catherine Connolly after that? Now, that's all well and good, but finding a sacrificial lamb to do that and then incurring the cost around it as well may not be worth it from Sinn Féin's perspective. But there is thinking that, you know, if they simply just roll in behind Catherine Connolly, you know, will their vote get out? And there's a bit of uncertainty around that.
Right, there's a lot at stake really for the party in making that call in a few days' time. Gareth Sheridan, we know, is seeking a nomination. He got a nomination from Kerry County Council. He needs three more. So today he's going to Tipperary, isn't he?
He is, and there's a bit more likelihood of him getting the nomination here than in other councils. But I suppose the key thing about whether he gets Tipperary or not, if you suddenly have to have two local authorities and then you have the likes of Meath and Offaly to come, there might be that bit more of an incentive for those other councillors and those councils to say, we're not going to block him getting on the ballot paper, you know, given he's got this level of support so far. We heard, you know, a similar argument coming from Independent Ireland saying that if Rhys Dean was, you know, within a couple of votes, they'd lend their support to them in that case. So it's certainly, if you get a bit of momentum in a race like this, you may find others willing to help you to get over the finish line in that regard. I would still say he's probably more unlikely than likely to get his name on the ballot paper, though.
Right, so you think that if he got two, so he has Kerry, if he got Tip, that might just give him the push that he would need to get two more and get his name on the ballot paper?
Yeah, I think that would create a nice bit of momentum for him, but I still think it is quite an uphill task for him.
Yeah, and a bit of a way to go, because a lot of those councils aren't meeting until next Monday, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, back to another story you're reporting on this morning, because we know that the VAT rate cut for hospitality was on the agenda for the budget on the 7th of October. Then there was a bit of a wobble around it, and that's upsetting some people in Fianna Fáil you were talking to.
Yes, I was reporting again in the Irish Daily Mail today that there was really an open revolt against the prospect of going ahead with the reduction of VAT from 13.5% to 9% for the hospitality sector. You had the likes of two ministers of state, Thomas Burr and Niall Collins. You had scores of TDs and senators yesterday at that meeting, really opposing this measure, saying that they didn't think it was thought true enough. They thought they were being led by the lobbyists on this, and it was really, it would really put, I guess, a recurring burden on the taxpayer, and that they wouldn't really get much bang for their buck out of, and that they would like to see that money put into something like an extra child benefit payment or something like that would really be felt in consumers' pockets. Mm-hmm. Talking to people in the Fine Gael side of the house last night, senior contacts in Fine Gael, they were saying, look, this is an essential business-saving model and something that they're keen to press ahead on. So expect battle lines to be drawn on this and for it to rumble on right up to budget day.
All right. A way to go on that as well, Craig. Thanks very much for taking us through all of that. That's Craig Hughes, who's political editor with the Irish Daily Mail.